The 5th of January, we had 6 games. We had the return of Amen Thompson. We had a really good matchup, OKC getting the better of Boston in the early game. 6 games to get through. Let's dive into it. This is the Sunday post-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. Don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy. That's all that I need.
Welcome to the Balls Deep Podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere, everywhere you consume your podcast or podcast, your fantasy basketball content. Please like and subscribe. Please download. Please stick that thumb up. We are part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. 6 games to get through. Now, I'm recording today without my headphones on because I thought, well, do I actually need them? When I don't have a guest, I probably don't. It feels very weird, I will say, because I'm so used to having them up in my head. And I now have to listen to myself talk, which, well, I guess someone has to. 6 games to get through today. Hopefully, I'm assuming everything sounds the same. Let me know if there are any issues with audio or anything like that. But, I don't envisage that there will be any issues. Let's get into the games. First game of the night, Boston at OKC. Good game. Everything we thought it would be. Boston got out to a lead, held that lead, and then OKC came storming home on the back of Lu Dort. Well, sort of. Let's start with Boston. They were healthy. Both teams pretty healthy here. Chet obviously out for the Thunder, but both teams rolling with a pretty healthy lineup. I do have ears. Thank you. Yes, confirmation that I do have ears. Jaylen Brown returned. Everyone was sort of as expected here, I guess, in a matchup like this. Drew Holiday was pretty disappointing. 2 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists are fine. But, he's barely hanging on as a 12-teamer, I think. Peyton Pritchard also only played 11 minutes. Just couldn't get anything going. This is always going to happen. I talk about this when it's a sixth man. If you come on and you're just playing like trash, they'll go in other directions. He doesn't have that luxury of being a starter and having guaranteed minutes. So just a down game, he will be okay. For the Thunder, like I said, Lu Dort, he was terrible the first 3 quarters. And then I think he was perfect in the last quarter, hit 3 threes. So ended up with 14.6 rebounds, a steal and a block, which is decent enough. But as I said, a lot of this came in the last quarter. If we'd taken his line prior to that final 12 minutes, it would not be good reading. Are we rostering him? He's very borderline, like I've said, much like Case and Wallace. They are better on teams who need steals. Shea was very good, continues to make a very strong claim to be this year's MVP. I think it will probably be him or Jokic at this point. Giannis would probably be the third I'd have in there. Tatum, I know Tatum's been really good. I don't see him being in that final three, but we will see. There's still a lot of water to go under the bridge. Jalen Williams, pretty average in this one, 10 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal. Didn't shoot the ball too well. He has cooled off, I would say, couple of weeks. Let me have a look at what his rank actually is. Jalen Williams, here we go. I would say it's a bit of a buy low. I think he was fairly good in their previous game, not great in this one. So he is 25th on the season. So certainly down. This is sort of where we had him. There was discussion of whether he could be a first rounder. I think he'll be top 20 in that range. But over the last 2 weeks, he's 143rd, Last month, he's 150th. So absolutely an opportunity to buy low on him. If you think you can get him for a top 40 player, I probably would. Who else do we need to talk about? Hartenstein. Offensively a little quiet, but still had 10 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 blocks, 2 steals. So gets it done any night of the week. And then Isaiah Joe, he's our 3-point streamer. He had 2 of those. Wiggins, who's been playing better, he had 15 points with 2 assists. I would still rather have Dort and or Wallace. The Pelicans head into Washington and get a win, a good win. I mean, any win at this point for the Pelicans is a good win. DeJounte Murray, again, the counting stats are fine. 10 rebounds, 12 assists. Didn't get a steal, but he's racked up enough of those in the last couple of weeks to make up for it. But the shooting is still not there. Maybe this is just who he is. I don't know. Trey Murphy played well, 22-9 with 2 steals and a block, but he was forced from the game towards the back end of the third quarter with an ankle injury. He landed on Jonas Valanciunas' foot. That is a big foot. And he went straight off. It didn't look too bad. It didn't look like the Kuminga one. It didn't look like one that's going to be weeks upon weeks. But I would think, given his history of lower limb injuries, there's probably some missed time coming here for Murphy. Zion is close, so he would theoretically just jump straight back into the starting lineup if they are going to bring him straight back in there. Brandon Boston would be the one I'd look at here. I think he can play sort of as a hybrid forward, guard forward. He has a little bit more height than Alvarado and Hawkins, so he may get a small bump. He didn't do anything tonight, but just keep an eye on that injury report. See what they find when they do the testing and stuff for Trey. Herb Jones had 11, 4, and 1 with 2 blocks and 2 steals. That's a Herb Jones line if ever I've seen one. Eve Misi, 16 and 7 with 3 blocks. So a nice little bounce back for him. He should be rostered anywhere, everywhere anyway. For the Wizards, Kyle Kuzma had his best game since returning. There was no Jordan Poole here. Malcolm Brogdon left with yet another injury. He's probably played his quota of games now for January. So, I wouldn't be dropping Brogdon just yet. If we do get word that this is going to be a multi-game injury, you probably can move on. Bob Carrington was intriguing in this one. Let's say intriguing. 16, 7, and 4 with a steal. The minutes are there. Obviously, Poole being out helps, but if Brogdon remains out, then Poole coming back won't impact that too much. We do have Koulibaly to come back as well. I think Kuzma will probably stay in the starting lineup now. Champagne would be the one to go back to the bench if and when Koulibaly comes back. He is only out with an illness, so no need to worry. Alex Saar, nice game for him. Valanciunas, technically under 20 minutes again. So he is trending back down very slowly. He's probably a very borderline hold at best, I think. He would normally do more than this. He had 6 and 7 in his 20 minutes. He would normally be closer to 10 and 10, and that's borderline, as I said. So I'd probably be okay with holding him just for one more, maybe two more games. Not really interested in anyone else. They would need Poole, they would need Koulibaly, they would need Brogdon out for players like Keyshawn George, Corey Kispert, to be worth a look. And Jared Butler had 17 points, but I'm doing absolutely nothing with that. Charlotte, looking better roster-wise. They got LaMelo Ball back, they got Brandon Miller back. Both of those guys led the way in scoring, 24 points respectively. As a team, they looked pretty clunky. They actually kept this relatively close, but I think more of that was just to do with Cleveland switching off. So good to have Ball back, good to have Miller back. Miles Bridges, didn't shoot the ball particularly well, but look, he had some stats across the board. He has been better as well, so nothing to worry about here. Mark Williams had 11 and 9 with a steal and a block. Not his best game, but certainly still a very clear must roster player. And yeah, look, now that they're healthy, no, there's not really a lot of value on the bench. However, I would keep an eye on Nick Smith Jr. He played 19 minutes. He had 18 points. Now, obviously, that's playing above his head a little bit, but there was some high praise from him after the game. There's no incentive for them not to play him. It would make sense to just see if someone's playing well and on a hot streak, let's throw him out there. So maybe in deeper leagues, if you want to give Nick Smith a look, if standard leagues, just watch, just see where this goes, because he was over Micić and rightfully so in the rotation. As I said, for Cleveland, they didn't really have to stretch themselves too far here. The starters were all limited and all sort of put up enough in their limited minutes. Strus and LeVert both played about 25 minutes. I go back and forwards on these guys. Strus probably if you need points and threes, and then LeVert if you need some assists and steals. Whichever way you want to go there. I think both are okay, but not priorities. Utah get another win, 105-92. What is this? What world are we living in? Walker Kessler, 10 and 17 with a block. Isaiah Collier did start with Keyonte George out. Look, he didn't do a lot. This is why he's not a must-roster player yet, one of eight from the field. But he had six assists, and he's normally better than this defensively too. He had zero steals, zero blocks. If Keyonte George misses more time, if Clarkson misses more time, which he should, Collier in deeper leagues, I think you probably add him. In standard leagues, you maybe view him as a streamer. Michael Potter and Johnny Juzang started, but Bryce Sensabaugh once again came off the bench and was clearly their best player. 27 points, 3 rebounds. He's not doing much outside of scoring, but he is on a hot streak at the moment. John Collins was out for a personal reason, so he theoretically could be back for the next game. Lauri Markkanen is dealing with back something. I think he's been sort of dealing with that for the last 2 years playing for Utah. So he could miss a couple of games. He could come back and then miss a couple of games. I think in a deeper league, Sensabaugh is probably someone we want to add. And in standard leagues, if you want to pick him up just in case we get a few games without Markkanen, because I think even if Collins comes back, for example, one of Micah Potter or Johnny Juzang would likely just go back to 12 minutes or 15 minutes rather than Sensabaugh going back to 20 or 18. So, I like Sensabaugh. And long-term, like March, April, hopefully they will be investing in him a little bit more. For Orlando, not really surprising that they lost given the players they've got out at the moment. Tristan Da Silva started this. We talked about him on the pregame show. He didn't get zero. He got 6 points. He got 9 rebounds. He got 2 assists. So he got something. But if we're following the pattern here, the next game would be a big one. I don't know who they play. But Dadze didn't shoot the ball particularly well by his standards. Also went 0 of 4 from the free throw line, which hurts you on a Sunday. He did have 9 and 11 with a steal. So we don't need to worry there at all. It was just an off night for him. Cole Anthony started, had 12 points, 4 rebounds, 3 blocks. We probably hold him. Suggs is out. Gary Harris is, he's always out. Interestingly, Anthony Black, I think he was cleared to play, but did not play. So weird. But all right, KCP came crashing back to earth. He is still a hold, though. 2 points, 2 assists. he'd been better than this, and he's going to have to play big minutes because they've got so many injuries. Once Paolo comes back, which I've talked about will probably be this week, we are going to see some changes in value, obviously, but until we get word on when that is, it's just business as usual. Lakers and Houston. So Lakers went with their usual starting five. Anthony Davis, slow start in this one, but he finished strong, 30 points, 13 rebounds, 2 assists, 5 blocks. LeBron James had 21, 13, and 9. So along with Austin Reeves, those three are must-roster players. Max Christie is pretty close, 14, 6, and 2 with a steal, 2 threes. He's doing just enough, I think, to be held in 12s. He's playing consistent minutes, which is the main thing. Rui Hachimura, we don't need to be rostering him. Finney Smith, easily his best game as a Laker, 13 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 2 threes, 26 minutes. Keep an eye on him. I don't think I'm adding him just yet, but this is what they want him for. They want him as a bit of a 3-and-D hybrid center forward. We will see how this goes. It was a favorable matchup against Houston, but something to watch. For Houston, as I talked about on the pregame show, Amen Thompson did move into the starting lineup against this Lakers team that isn't particularly sizable outside of Anthony Davis. And we know what Amen Thompson does when he starts. He plays very well, 23 and 16 with 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 of 4 from the line. That's a risk you take with Amen Thompson. He's not a great free throw shooter. He will occasionally give you a 3, but he just plays a little bit Josh Hart-y, but I think better at the rim than Josh Hart and not as good a 3-point shooter. But that will come around, I think. Remember, this is only his second year. So hopefully everyone just held Amen Thompson through all the ups and downs, because we could have 4 to 6 weeks here of top 50 value from Amen Thompson. Dylan Brooks went back to being Dylan Brooks. This is why I don't think he's a hold. He was on a hot streak. You hold him through that, and then if you want to give him one more game, you could. If you want to move on, you also could do that. Jalen Green had a big one. Şengün was not at his best, 14, 6, and 4. But against Anthony Davis, not completely surprising. Steven Adams played a little bit more off the bench than usual, had 8 and 9 with a steal and a block. He's a very good rebounds streamer, but you never know what his minutes are going to look like. And Cam Whitmore, 8 points in 16 minutes. I feel like with Jabari out, I don't know. I do feel like they would look to move him. They just don't seem to have a lot of confidence or faith in him, despite the fact that he's played well. With Tate out, with Smith out, he's still only playing 16 minutes. That's a little bit concerning. And the last game of the night, Sacramento thump the Warriors 129-99 for the Kings. It's fourth win in a row, third or fourth, something like that. Pretty easily their best game of the year, I would say, at least of the last month. Keon Ellis started again, but this time it was because De'Aaron Fox was out. So we still don't know what they're going to do with Keon Ellis when they have Fox back. But for today, he was perfect, really. 11 points, 4 of 4 from the line. He hit a 3. He got 2 steals. So this is what you hold him for. Interestingly, him going 4 of 4 from the line tonight actually won me my free throw categories in 2 leagues. So I got a 6-3 win in one league. 6-3 in industry pickup, actually, over Mitch Casey. I would have won 5-4, but because he hit 4 free throws, I beat Mitch by about 0.04%. And then in my home league, I would have been 4-4 because it's only an 8 category league, but I won free throws by about 0.05 or something because he hit 4 of 4 from the line. So thank you, Keon Ellis. Keegan Murray, look, not on the surface, not a great game. 11, 4, and 2 with a steal and a block. But even just with this lineup and no De'Aaron Fox, it was noticeable how much more involved Keegan Murray was. He was looking for his shot a little bit more. He wasn't just in the corner. That was key on Ellis. Keegan Murray, he got his hands on the ball a little bit more. This is why I would like to see him come off the bench, because he could do this for 28 minutes as a sixth man, and I think that would really help the Kings. But there's no indication that Ellis will stay in the starting lineup once Fox is back. And we'll see. I mean, if they're playing well at the moment, so if Ellis does go back to the bench, let's see how that impacts that starting five, because at the moment, defensively, they've got quite a presence, but that a lot of that is on the back of Keon Ellis. So we will see. Devin Carter is interesting, 13, 7 and 2 with a steal. He is a little bit like a Keon Ellis, but more aggressive offensively. Obviously, no Fox helped him here. This is why he played so many minutes. So I'm not adding Carter, but I could certainly see him playing ahead of Herder at times. Herder was pretty good tonight. He was hitting his shots, but this was a blowout as well. So, yeah. Not looking at Carter in standard leagues, but interesting just to see if he does move ahead of Herter there and where they fit with Keon Ellis once they're healthy. For the Golden State Warriors, it was rough. This first quarter was in this game, they were terrible. They had so many turnovers. Steve Kerr lost his head I don't know if it was the last quarter on a flopping call. He wanted Keon Ellis to be called for a flop, and he was going off. I think this was just frustration from the way the Warriors were playing. Steph Curry returned. He was good. Wiggins was good. Trayce Jackson-Davis was really bad, but we're holding him. This was a bad night. Move on. Draymond Green, look, this is fine. 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, 2 threes. That's a very Draymond line. Dennis Schroeder, surely we're done. I know he's been better the last couple of games. 3 points, 2 assists, 2 rebounds. I think we can move on from Schroeder. I am A-okay with that. And Buddy Hield, opportunity here, and he did nothing. 7 points. We don't need to be looking at Buddy Hield or Kyle Anderson or Moses Moody or any of those names at the moment. Okay, let's get into some quick questions. Not basketball related, but I was watching the Test documentary on Amazon. It is good. Regret not watching it earlier. Yeah, it's a very interesting documentary. Only if you like cricket. If you don't like cricket, don't go and watch it, because it probably won't make sense. What have we got? Oh, I sound the same. That's good to know. And I do have ears. Which one would I bench for the week? Dort, Keegan, or John Collins? Worried about him missing tomorrow with personal, then sitting half of the back-to-back to end the week for maintenance with the recent injury. Who would I sit? Do all those teams have four games? Let's have a look. Okay, Utah do have 4 games. Sacramento only have 3. Look, you're right to be worried. I don't know if we've heard of what this personal absence is for. Is it the birth of a child? I'm not sure. I really have no insight into how long he could be out here. Dort and the Thunder, how many games have they got? They only have 3 as well. So Sacramento and so Dort and Keegan Murray only have 3 games. Who would I bench? I'd probably take a flyer on John Collins. I mean, we should get word tomorrow, hopefully, when the injury report comes out, whether he's going to play tomorrow. If he's not, then maybe it's Collins. If he's going to play, then it's probably Dort, I think, for me. What should we offer for J-Dub? I think a top 40 player, if you could offer. That's what he's been in previous years. That's sort of where I like to work from on a player like this. He's been top 40. People aren't really going to take anything lower than what he has been. So, yeah, I think if you could offer a fourth rounder, that'd be okay. Picked up a man in the shallow points league. Can he continue? Oh, look, the numbers, I mean, the rebounds, I would say no. I mean, he's not going to be a 16 rebound a night player, but he is a very good rebounder. Yeah, and he's not going to score 20 points every night either, but he could get more defensive stats than that. So I think he's probably sort of closer to double-digit rebounds. I think he can be close to that. Points, maybe 16. Three assists, four assists maybe, and then I would say two combined steals and blocks. Brogdon did not return yet. He had a foot injury though, so... yeah, Champagne might have more value, but do remember we've got Koulibaly to come back in there as well. Is Brogdon the worst rookie of the year ever? Ooh, he's up there. Michael Carter-Williams. Yeah, I think it's... I don't know who that other one is, actually. No, I think Michael Carter-Williams is worse than Brogdon. I think Brogdon has been a good player. He's just had a lot of injuries and he's been on bad teams. Do I think Murphy misses less than three games? Ooh, I think three might be where we're at. That's about a week. Usually even a mild ankle sprain is a week. Keon over De Silva was the right move today. So good that you didn't listen to me. What are we going to do with Gobert? That's a good question. Outside the top 50 feels like this is the new norm. Yeah. Yeah, it's hard because I doubt you can get a center off waivers with more upside. And it doesn't take much for Rudy to be a top 100 player. He just needs to get 11 rebounds, two blocks, and go four or five from the field, and he's a top 80 player. So the distance between his floor and his ceiling is not that much. But if you look at the names you've got there on the list, Mark Williams, Claxton, Lively, Meesey, yeah, I mean, you could argue that all of them are ahead of Gobert at the moment. Any word on Christian Wood? I have heard nothing. I think people have probably forgotten he plays for them. Is it fair to say Amen starts rest of season? Until Jabari's back at least, yes, but that could end up being rest of season or rest of the fantasy season. Held Amen over Tobias and I feel vindicated. Yeah, I think so. I mean, Tobias has been better, but Amen, I think, certainly has higher upside. Who's the better stream for the back-to-back, Alexander Walker or Duncan Robinson? Probably Duncan Robinson, I think. So Shining Knight is about to drop Trayce Jackson-Davis. So everyone go and pick up Trayce Jackson-Davis because he is probably going to have a few good games. When am I applying for the Kings head coaching job? Doug Christie, I think, has done really well. And of course, I'm not a coach. This is just me sitting in my back room giving my opinion. So yeah, doesn't mean a lot. You could argue that Amen is the best talent on the Rockets roster. He is very good. He's certainly the most, if I had to look at most highest upside in 5 years, he'd be pretty close. I think it'd be him or Şengün. Şengün is getting closer to his ceiling, but I don't think we're there yet. So it's certainly Amen or Şengün. DeMar is very inconsistent at the moment. He was, what do you have today? Like 12 and 1 or something? 12 points, 1 assist, 1 steal. He didn't have to do a lot today, but yes, I think our days of top 40 DeMar are gone. Why can't Schroeder shoot anymore? It's a good question. He's still a good defender. If you watch him out there, he has an impact defensively, and that will keep him on the court. And I think at some point his shot will start falling, but we know what we saw at the start of the year was not the real Dennis Schroeder. We've seen 10 years of the real Dennis Schroeder. Oh, Steve learns a lot about Australia. Yeah, it's good. If you've got any Australia questions, ask me. I'm happy to talk about Australia. I'm happy to talk about horror movies. I'm happy to talk about what else do I like? Seinfeld. I talk about Seinfeld all day. Horror movies. I'm off to watch a horror movie tonight. Are we buying Ant with all the bad press? Is he going to be because he's the only threat? No, I think Ant is who Ant is at the moment. So I'm not actively trying to buy him. And he's coming off a 50-point game, so there's no way you're getting him at value. If Brandon Ingram, Trey Murphy, and Zion were healthy along with the current starters, who are the starters? Okay, so who are the starters in New Orleans when they are healthy? Who do I think they should be, or who will they be? I think there's a different answer to those two questions. Who do I think they should be? I think DeJounte has to be your point guard. I think I actually don't mind CJ coming off the bench, but that's never going to happen. It'll be DeJounte, it'll be CJ, it'll be Herb. And then it's the questions, and it might rotate. So start of the year, I would have said Zion would be in there and Brandon Ingram with Trey Murphy and Misi off the bench. But Misi's been very good. Trey Murphy is arguably their best player. Brandon Ingram, I've no idea how they view him. My starting five would be DeJounte, Herb. Oh, man, it's really hard. It's hard to fit them in because I think DeJounte, CJ, Trey, Herb, Misi, Zion, and Ingram could all start, and that's seven names. So fitting seven into five is tough. I think Trey Murphy will go to the bench. That sort of answers part of that question. Kuminga is out for 11 games minimum, yes. Would I take Brolo or Gobert? Oh, God. That's a depressing question. That might come down to rebounds or threes. If you've got a secondary or third sort of category you're looking at, because Gobert is a far better rebounder. Brolo is a terrible rebounder, but he hits threes. Gobert doesn't. Blocks wise, probably Lopez has the higher ceiling in blocks. Have to decide on who to drop between TJD, Vassell, Amen, Beal, and Dyson Daniels. Activate Jalen Johnson. Oh, who to drop? It's probably TJD, I think. I'm not dropping Vassell. I'm not dropping Amen. I'm not dropping Dyson Daniels. And I don't think I'm dropping Beal. So if it's one of those that you have to drop, it's probably TJD. Grayson Allen on the wire. I would take Grayson Allen. If he's available, go and grab him because they have five games this week. What is an Australia-only food that isn't Vegemite? I don't know. I mean, there's lots of food that we eat here that you can get in other countries, like meat pies. We eat a lot. I eat a lot of meat pies. I know you can get them in other countries, but here we have a freezer dedicated to meat pies. So maybe it's meat pies. What else? Barbecue shapes. I don't think you can get barbecue shapes in America or shapes in general. So chicken crimpies, barbecue shapes, those, not sure you can get those. I think Tim Tams are Australian, aren't they? I know I've seen them around in other countries. We eat kangaroo here. So I guess that. And no, we don't eat koalas, Cookie Monster. We do eat kangaroo, though. Fairy bread is pretty Australian. Yes, we do eat fairy bread, or the kids eat it more than me. Pavlova, yes. Lamingtons, yes. Parmies, chicken parmies. I don't know if I think, well, surely you can get parmies in other countries. Like kangaroo steak. So you can eat kangaroo steak. You can eat kangaroo sausages, kangabangers. Bit of mustard, very nice. What are shapes? So shapes are, if you just Google, I wonder what would come up if you're in America. Shapes are biscuits. They're little, so it's a box. Hang on, where are my hands? It's probably, it's like a box of crackers kind of thing, and shapes are just a brand here in Australia. You can get barbecue shapes, pizza shapes. So they're just little crackers with different flavors on them, and you can get Vegemite shapes. So there you go. Chicken parmies in Canada. Okay, good. I do love a parmy whenever I go out. Kangaroo burgers do make it to the US at really shady exotic burger joints. I'm sure. A kangaroo's more dangerous than a crocodile in the real world, you mean? I would, in terms of danger to humans and living. No, I don't think so. I mean, a kangaroo can't really hurt you. They could, I suppose, if you got in its space, but you just leave them alone, they're fine. So kangaroo, a crocodile will do more damage, it would eat you or bite you or whatever. Kangaroos won't bite you. They'll just kick the shit out of you. Are kangaroos found mainly in the rural areas? Where I live, I live near Canberra, and Canberra is the capital city, but it's not as big as Sydney. It's not as big as Melbourne. I can't do it now, but we get kangaroos down in our front yard every night. Our yard is always covered in kangaroo poo. When I drive home from friends' places all around the place, I have to drive slowly because kangaroos are often just everywhere on the side of the roads. At night, especially daytime, you don't really see them that often, but nighttime they come out and they're everywhere. I could probably drive from here to where I play basketball. So that's through the city, through a fairly built-up area. And chances are I would drive past 40 kangaroos. They do come into the built-up areas. A deer analogy is maybe a good similarity there. Do we call fries chips? Yes, we do. Yeah, hot chips. Yeah. Kangaroos and crocodile. What is this podcast descended into? Are insects as big as most foreign people describe? Yeah, we do get big insects. We get a lot of spiders. We have spiders living in our house, down in our garage and stuff like that. Pretty fairly big ones. I could go out to my backyard. We back onto a big reserve, so we are very close to nature. But we will get spiders often in our yard that are sort of probably as big as the palm of my hand. So if you hold your hand up and if it sat and spread its legs, it's probably bigger than the palm of my hand. We get a lot of those out in the yard. A lot of big bugs flying around this time of year as well at nighttime. A lot of bugs come out. They don't do any damage to you. So kangaroos are common like raccoon. Yes, they're very common. Wombats are pretty common. Echidnas, somewhat common. Koalas, no. Well, koalas you don't see because they're up in the trees. They don't come down. Possums, we get a lot of possums where I live as well. Hot dog on bread on election day. Oh, yeah, sausage sandwich. That'd be Australian. Yep. And that's just a sausage in a bit of bread with sauce. Spiders are good pest control. That's right. Only reason Chad doesn't live here is the spiders. Funnel webs. We get funnel webs, huntsmen, redbacks, white tails or something. I don't know. You get so many, We get snakes. We had a snake in our yard the other day. We just let it go. Has interest in echidnas increased with the Sonic movie? I don't know, actually. Not here. Maybe in other countries. If you drove east to west coast, is there literally nothing in the middle? There is a long stretch with nothing. There would be service stations, gas stations, as you would call them. We've driven from here, so we're on the east coast. We have driven to the middle. Well, no, it's not the middle. We've driven to Adelaide, which is a third of the way across the country. And there's plenty of places to stop. Going from Adelaide over to Perth, which is the west coast, is a long drive, and I don't know. I've never done it. I assume there would be options to get petrol or gas, whatever we want to call it, because a lot of people do it, so there must be. Lone Dez is not moving to Australia either. Oh, look, we have a fantasy question. Beal and Nurk off the bench now. Is Ryan done? Look, that won't be a long-term thing, I wouldn't think. Plumlee, I'm not really adding Plumlee. Ryan Dunn's interesting. I did talk about him because they have five games this week. He was in my waiver wire article, so I don't mind Ryan Dunn because Royce O'Neill is out. Is Rose Byrne an Aussie national treasure? I don't think so. And I think she should be because she has done a lot of good stuff. I love Rose Byrne. She's in one of my favorite movies of all time. And she doesn't get a lot of media attention here. But I definitely think she should be. What is Outback Australia like? It's bloody hot, very hot. I'm not near it at all, and I've sort of been to the Outback, but not my wife has. She's been to the Outback, and she was actually stationed up in the Outback for 6 weeks earlier in the year for work, and she said it was just stupidly hot every day. Does it snow? Yep, it snows here where I live. We get snow. Not much and pretty rare, but we do get snow at least once a year. And the snow fields, so a bit of this is probably boring a lot of people, but so from where I am to get to the snow fields, I suppose, if where people actually go to ski in winter, it's about two hours, hour and a half, and we've got a man-made ski place about 40 minutes from my house, so pretty close to where it snows. And then to get to the coast from where I am, so the south, well, the east coast of Australia, but we call it the south coast because it's south. It's about 2 hours from our house. So we're pretty close. We're sort of 2 hours from the snow, 2 hours from the beach. And here where I live, we get the full range of seasons. So we like summer. So today outside, I think it was about, I'm going to need my Fahrenheit to thing. Celsius to Fahrenheit. So summer here, which it is at the moment, our temperature gets up to, hottest is probably about 105 Fahrenheit. So 40-ish degrees is about as hot as it gets. Average, like for the last couple of weeks, has probably been about 98. So that's 36, 37 degrees. And then in winter here, it's probably most mornings, we probably wake up to about 20 degrees, 23 degrees, which is -4, -5. So we get a full range of temperatures here where I live, probably. Where I live is probably the most extreme in terms of cold to hot. If you go up north, it doesn't get as cold as here. I don't know why we get so cold. I think because we're close to where the snow is, so for whatever reason. The shapes are good, yes. Yes, Rose Byrne is in the Bad Neighbours movie. Yeah, so if she... She's in Two Hands. Two Hands is the movie that I really like. It's an Aussie movie with Rose Byrne and Heath Ledger when they're both really young. Yeah, it's a very Aussie movie. If you want to see a good snapshot of Australia, watch Two Hands. Yes, I have heard of Whistler in Canada. Yep. If you have a friend in Sydney visiting for the New Year's test. Yeah, look, I go up and watch the New Year's test. It's only about a three-hour drive for me to Sydney to watch the cricket. Is Aussie TV as censored as it appeared to me? Felt very similar to the strict British regulations with a bit of Aussie telly I've managed to watch. See, I actually think the US television is more censored than us. And that's only from my short stints in America watching TV. A lot of the, when you watch the movies and things, a lot of the language is censored out or just sort of hidden. Here, there's none of that here. I don't think so. I wouldn't think so. A lot of Aussies coming to Vancouver. I will be in Vancouver in 3 years. We're heading to Summer League this year. Yeah, this year. So we'll be going to Vegas, LA, San Francisco, San Diego. So we'll be doing 2.5 weeks on the West Coast. And then in probably, 2025? So probably 2027, maybe six, probably seven. We're going to go and do probably Seattle. We're hoping there's a team there by then. Seattle, Portland, Vancouver, I think, and Boston. We'll do Boston again because we loved Boston. Do the kids watch American cartoons or is it Aussie-specific ones? Well, my kids are too old for cartoons now. I know a lot of them watch Bluey. I know Bluey is very big, but I think that's big around the world. What else do they watch? They just watch bloody YouTube nowadays. And I'm basing this off my kids. They just watch YouTube and weird shows like that. It's not like when I was a kid and we watched Transformers and Voltron and He-Man and all those things. So, yeah, I know Bluey is very popular with younger kids. And then beyond that, yeah, I don't know. I don't think cartoons are as popular anymore, which is a shame. 10 pounds of Tim Tams with me when I come. Yeah, I can probably throw Tim Tams in my bag, can't I? They're so cheap. I know I've been – I'm going to end this in a minute because it's going way off topic. I know when I travel and I see the price of Tim Tams in airports, it blows my mind because I think they're about $10 a packet or something like that, or you get three for $20. You go to the supermarket here and if you get them half price, they're $2 for a packet, $2.50. So it does – some of those things, Vegemite is another one. When I travel, yeah, it's interesting. And I'm sure it's the same. I'm sure when Americans come here, they might see American food that is stupidly overpriced. All right. So I'm just seeing if there's any updates, anything like that. No. Tim Tams are $5 a packet here. Yeah, look, they probably are that here, to be fair. Normally, but if you just wait a week, they go on sale. I've had Philly cheesesteaks, not in Philly though, so they're probably not as good. I'll be going out for dinner tonight and having deep dish pizza. Is it like Detroit style pizza or something it's called, I think. Let me have a look at the menu. Come on, no burgers. Yeah, Detroit style pizza. I haven't been to Detroit, so I don't know how accurate it is, but the place we go to before we go to the movies, we always get a Detroit style pizza. Yeah, deep dish. So it's quite thick with a whole heap of toppings. So that's why I'm wrapping this up, because I need to go and get in my car and drive out there. So Anyway, interesting non-fantasy discussion there. Lots of questions. Always love the questions. Not having the headphones seem to work all right, so that's good as well. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I will be back with the pre-game show tomorrow, as per normal. Should be fairly normal this week. I don't think I've got really anything on, so looking like a normal week. Thank you again. Please go and download. Please go and like and subscribe to all of that stuff. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep post-game show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.